Welcome to season 14 of Digital Learning Radio. I'm Catherine, and I am thrilled to be joined by my co-host, Laura.
Hello.
This season of the podcast, we're continuing conversations of sharing what is inspiring us on our ongoing story of learning. This week, we're handing it over to Laura to share what's been inspiring her.
Hooray! And I am definitely excited to share. Also, I do want to hear more from you too. So last week we had this just delightful conversation where you talked to us about differentiation and technology. And I also know you had a few next step ideas. So how are those going?
Well, the first now what was to work to incorporate differentiation vocabulary into my sessions. And I've already had a chance to do that. So yay, nice. Gold star for me.
Excellent.
A few days ago, I facilitated a session where we went through those four elements of powerful learning design that I mentioned last week: time, place, medium, and socialness. And after introducing those elements, I said kind of casually that what we're really doing is differentiating according to learning profiles. Mm-hmm. And I had a surprising number of nods, like, oh yeah, that makes sense. So differentiation is obviously a hot topic, and this was an easy addition, which seemed to resonate. And I will continue to point out those connections between differentiation and designing learning for choice.
Ooh, love that. And good job, check, knocking things off that now what list.
Yes. And I just accomplished my second now what right before we started recording. So my goal was to reach out to the authors of that ASCD article and share our two podcast episodes about their article. And I did exactly that.
Make it happen. Yeah. I love that.
Well, I created this goal of reaching out to help me expand my learning network, to model my own learning, to acknowledge the work that inspires me, and then also to promote our podcast with a wider audience. So yay for the now what's that are holding me accountable for my learning.
Oh, that's fantastic. And I am very curious to see if we hear back from them. So stay tuned.
Yeah, I hope so.
Keep us posted. All right. So before I get to my share, Catherine, what about you? Do you have a quick win of inspiration to share with us?
Well, Laura, we've mentioned AI just a tiny bit on this podcast.
Sure.
But I know we've each spent time exploring and playing with different tools. So today for my quick win, I'm sharing a Chrome extension called Monica, an AI copilot. Once installed, you have access to ChatGPT on every web page through a pop-out sidebar, so you don't have to open up another tab in the OpenAI website. With the free version, you get 40 prompts per day, and it has been so fantastic to help me, for instance, simplify or restructure my text on my slides and in documents. Monica also has a built-in prompt guide, and so I can paste in text, and just with clicks, I can ask it to write a short or a long or a medium length paragraph or post or tweet or email, and with a friendly or professional or casual tone. It also summarizes YouTube videos, provides hints and questions on web queries, and provides possible summaries and related questions from your searches. So there are so many AI tools out there, it's impossible to keep up, but Monica has been super easy and helpful for me over the last couple of months. So I think it qualifies as a quick win. And side note, I also used Monica to proofread my email I just sent to the ASCD authors.
Nice.
And it told me there were no grammar errors. So I don't know if that was a good thing or if I needed to do a bit more prompting. And then one other last thing to share, ChatGPT and Monica specifically say that they're not to be used by children under 13 because they collect email and personal information. ChatGPT says 13 to 18 year olds need parent permission, but Monica AI does not include that provision in their privacy policy. So with all AI tools, read those privacy policies in terms of service, and just wanted to throw that digital citizenship reminder out there.
Perfect, perfect, good awareness and great share. Truly a quick win. You and I were working on something recently and you pulled that up and I was like, well, what is this? I want this. And so you've now told me about it a couple of times. Today is the day that I'm installing it. So okay. Quick win at last for me as well.
Okay. All right. It's time. Laura, let's hear what's been inspiring you this week.
I am ready.
As a reminder, I'll invite you to consider the what, so what, and now what of your share to guide our conversation. So tell us, Laura, what is inspiring you to learn this week?
Okay. This week, I'm sharing a longtime favorite that continues to serve as a go-to resource and source of inspiration for me, and that is Project Zero's Toolbox of Thinking Routines.
I am very excited. I am also a fan of these thinking routines. So let's pull up our timer and in 60 seconds or less, give us the gist and tell us about thinking routines.
You got it. Okay, so a thinking routine is simply a set of questions or a brief sequence of steps used to scaffold and support student thinking. And again, I am a huge fan. So coming from the Harvard Graduate School of Education, the Project Zero team of researchers has done a few decades worth of work around the idea of visible thinking and ultimately designed these thinking routines as a way to deepen students' thinking and help make that thinking visible. The toolbox contains over 80 thinking routines organized into 10 types of thinking categories, and these span grade levels and content. They are described succinctly and beautifully as these short, easy-to-learn mini strategies that extend and deepen students' thinking and become part of the fabric of everyday classroom life. I found these to be such a great way to guide learners' thought processes. So even though this isn't necessarily a new inspiration, it's one that I'm excited to bring to the podcast and kind of around 60 seconds.
Yeah, so close. You were very close, very close. Okay, like I said, I am also a huge fan and I'm so excited for your perspective. And so let's dive a little deeper and tell us more to answer so what about the idea of thinking routines that is inspiring you.
So for me, I think it's the versatility and flexibility of these routines. I can almost always find a relevant thinking routine to include in sessions I design and facilitate, regardless of the content we're discussing. I also think that choice is a huge component in most of these routines. So as you know, that's going to be a win for me as well. I think we are all always looking for ways to engage learners and really get them asking and considering good questions and ultimately really thinking. So taking it a step further by developing a routine that is familiar to students that also gets them to think in a variety of ways, that's going to be a win in my book as well. Mm-hmm. So on the project site, it says what makes them routines versus mere strategies is that they get used over and over again in the classroom so that they become part of the fabric of the classroom culture. And routines don't take time away from anything else educators are doing. Instead, they enhance learning in the classroom. So I think that this is so true. And I also think that so often as PD facilitators, we are perceived as just someone trying to pitch an idea and or add another thing to your plate. So I really like this distinction here of thinking routines are not something else or something that takes time away from you, but instead really serves to routinely enhance that learning. Right now, I am reading Dr. Nathan Langrad's latest book, Never Stop Asking, Teaching Students to Be Better Critical Thinkers. And he has this quote pretty early in the book that I have found myself coming back to quite a bit lately. It says, we are flooded with information and at the same time find ourselves in a thinking drought. With all the information, we'll have to do much more than seek to attain knowledge. To be successful and flourish in this life, we'll have to be better at synthesizing, recognizing patterns, and creatively piecing together the right information at the right time, thinking critically about it, and making important choices with more wisdom. Mm. I love this quote. I've thought about it a lot. I've shared it a lot. I think that it really rings true. And I also think that it is a pretty big ask. And so bringing it all together here, I think practicing these small routines designed to get students and learners thinking is a great step to take toward being successful and flourishing in this way that Dr. Nathan Langrad sets up.
Ooh, what a beautiful quote. And what this is making me think of is that these routines also remind me of protocols, which I know we're both yes. fans of as well. And having these structured conversations and having mm-hmm. those sentence stems is so important in the design of our work. So mm-hmm. I love all of these additional behind the scenes pieces that you're bringing. Mm-hmm. And this is something that I needed a big refresher on. This is making me just as happy as you are to talk about thinking Yay. Routines.
Hooray. Well, this summer, I actually designed a quick hour conference session called Ask the Right Questions and Get Students Thinking with Thinking Routines, where in the session, I showcase 5 different thinking routines for participants to experience. And then they had some time to explore the toolbox and find additional routines that could be a good fit for them in their own classroom. And people really loved the session. It was very well attended, and I got a lot of good feedback from participants about just the relevancy and adaptability of the routines that we explored to be able to take back immediately to their classrooms. I also had a number of people say something to the effect of, oh yeah, I used to use things like this, like all of the time before COVID. And then for some reason, I just stopped. So thanks for the reminder. Mm-hmm. And so many of these thinking routines, and especially the Project Zero Toolbox, was a new resource to many of the people that I got to work with this summer who were really excited to learn about it. It made me excited, and kind of this lingering excitement of sharing such a valuable resource is really one of the reasons I wanted to bring this continued sharing on the podcast today, because it truly is a source of ongoing inspiration for me, and I know many others as well.
I love this idea of any kind of toolbox, and mm-hmm. so I am excited to hear about or be reminded of the mm-hmm. 10 different types of thinking categories. So tell us a little bit more about that and what a thinking routine actually looks like.
Sure. Again, so Project Zero's toolbox contains over 80 routines that are grouped by types of thinking, and some of them do appear in multiple categories. So these 10 categories and types of thinking are core thinking routines, introducing and exploring ideas, digging deeper into ideas, synthesizing and organizing ideas, investigating objects and systems, perspective taking, considering controversies, dilemmas, and perspectives, generating possibilities and analogies, exploring art, images, and objects, and global thinking. So love all of those categories mm-hmm. and knowing that there are multiple routines in each one. And I'll list just a few of the names of some of those thinking routines found throughout these categories, maybe just to spark your memory or pique your interest. So here's some sample thinking routines. We've got see, think, wonder, compass points, does it fit, circles of action, I used to think, now I think, the 3 whys, and many, many, many more. Now, when you access the thinking routine, there's always going to be a PDF of the routine itself. Sometimes there are additional resource links, and sometimes there's a Spanish version that you can access as well. But when you open up that PDF, you'll see the routine, usually a series of questions or steps to consider, and it's in a box at the top. And then below, you'll see the purpose of using this routine. What kind of thinking does this routine encourage? You'll also see a little blurb of application to address ideas for when and where to use the routine, followed by a section called Launch with some well-researched classroom pro tips for starting and using the routine. They have made it incredibly easy to access and utilize these thinking routines in your class or PD session to align with a number of purposes and activities. And the more I talk about it and showcase it, the more just kind of jazz and excited I get. In the session I did this summer, after we experienced the thinking routines as learners, I gave the participants the opportunity to explore the routine and its application ideas and launch tips with three additional questions for me to keep that purpose at the forefront of our thinking. So those additional questions that I shared were, how might you modify to apply this thinking routine with your learners? Which TEAC standard or learning activity would this routine best fit? And then when in the lesson, unit, or class period would you utilize this routine? And so I think that gave some helpful parameters as we were exploring and thinking about when to make this work in our various setups.
I love your question. The first one, how might you modify this to apply the thinking routine? Because one that I have used forever actually comes from that exploring art and images and objects, and it's the see, think, wonder. But I find myself saying that all the time, kind of as a summary, like, what did you see about this session? What did you think? What did you wonder? I love the way that they can be tweaked a little bit to not just have to stay in that category.
Sure, sure. Well, as you know, I am a rebel, and so I rarely use them in the way that they're truly intended. But I really do appreciate that launch section and application ideas if you're looking for some inspiration. But also, yeah, I wanted to share that permission to make it work for you.
Right. Okay. Well, I know you've got several, but do you have a favorite thinking routine or two that you want to share with us?
Okay, you know me well, because yes, sharing my favorites could definitely take a while. And as I was prepping for this episode, I was scrolling through. I'm like, oh, and this one, and this one, and this one. But I'm going to limit it to two shares. So let's see how this goes. My absolute favorite and my go-to thinking routine is one that we've actually used to structure one of our conversations here on the podcast in a previous season. And that is the four C's. And the purpose of this routine is actually to structure a text-based discussion. However, like I just said, I often modify it and use the structure for conversations about a number of topics, not necessarily following reading a text, but I also like to use it to discuss what I sometimes call a miniature text or just a really good quote. So love those four C's. They are connections, challenge, concepts, and changes. And so essentially, we've got a core question for each of these C's. So for connections, what connections do you draw between the text or topic and your own life or your other learning? We've got challenge. What ideas, positions, or assumptions do you want to challenge or argue within the text or, again, topic? Concepts. What key concepts or ideas do you think are important and worth holding on to? And then finally, changes. What changes in attitudes, thinking, or action are suggested by the text or topic, either for you or others? I love this routine because I also like to talk about the multiple opportunities for choice and modifying it that this routine really has. So I love to facilitate this where participants have the ability to choose any of the four C's to guide their discussion responses in a group. I really love that challenge and change are included here. Really, those exist to give people permission to challenge thinking or explicitly state some changes that really need to be made to make it happen. I often say, as teachers, and particularly I think as PD facilitators, we say a thing and then we're like, okay, get on board. Next slide. And so I really like having this as an opportunity for people to make a connection or also make a challenge or name a change that needs to happen. Okay, I'm getting excited. I'm going to bring it down a notch. So there's also many other options to make this routine work for you. You can have groups of four self-select those C's to ensure each person brings a different C perspective to the conversation. You can do four corners conversations to get some movement happening, one corner for each of those C's, or even move through all of those four C's together through the course of a discussion. And Catherine, I know that you have facilitated some book study meetings that I know that I have been a part of where you guided our whole group conversation using these four C's as the topic of our discussion and also kind of to keep it moving as well. So it really is my favorite, and I love utilizing this thinking routine both as a participant and also as a facilitator in so many options.
This is one of my favorites as well, but I love your comment about thinking as not just text-based, but miniature text-based. That is awesome to think about using this just even with a single quote. So I love that, but I'll share another way that I've used the four C's routine was as an introduction to new ISTE standards. So it wasn't a full text. It wasn't miniature text. So somewhere in between. But I gave each group one standard. We were analyzing the education leader standards, and then each group completed a slide to respond to all four of those prompts. And then we ended with a collaborative slide deck with all the standards deconstructed.
So, ooh, I love that. That is an excellent activity right there. Okay, cool.
Okay, you said you had two. I'll limit you to two.
Okay, so. Thank you. Rein it in. Yes, I will share another one just really quickly, and that is word, phrase, sentence. The purpose of this thinking routine is to capture the essence of a text and to provide structure for a conversation. And so essentially, after you read a text, and this one really works best with a text, by the way, participants are instructed to select a word that captures their attention or stands out as powerful, then a phrase that moves, engages, or provokes you, and then that sentence that's really meaningful and or captures the core idea of the text. And then as a small group, you can go around and each share that word you selected, then the phrase, then the sentence. And then from there, discuss themes that emerge, maybe build a discussion around why you chose that one and see some similarities within the group. And I have found that this is a really great way to draw in people who might be a little reticent to speak or aren't quite sure how to jump into a discussion. Also, we have that kind of built-in equity of voice and airtime for all group members to be a bit more regulated. So it's another just go-to for me that also requires no materials and no extra prep for facilitation. I just realized I shared two text discussion-related thinking routines, but believe me, there are so many types of thinking routines included in this toolbox, certainly beyond text-based discussions. I guess that's my go-to.
Those are good ones.
Those are good. So let me share, speaking of maybe equity of voice, I want to open it up to you because I know that, Catherine, you are a big fan of thinking routines as well and have used them for such a long time. Do you have a go-to routine that you want to shout out?
I'm going to be just like your participants and say, thanks for all of these reminders of these routines. These were my go-to strategies. I use them all the time, and I don't know why I have stopped. I am getting back into my book and the website after we record, but I'll share one that you haven't mentioned, and it's not a text-based routine. So,
Okay, good.
So this one is called headlines, and it's used at the end of a session or the end of a class or discussion. So one of those summarizing routines. And the prompt says to think about all we've been talking about today in class. If you were to write a headline for the topic or issue right now that captured the most important aspect that should be remembered, what would that headline be? So the goal is synthesizing the information and capturing it in a concise headlines-like manner. And as a technology bonus, since you've taken me down memory lane with thinking routines, there is an old website called classtools.net that has a headline generator, and you insert a background image, and then you have just a limited amount of space to add in a headline, and then you get a graphic that looks like a news desk with the breaking news cryons on the screen. And so I did this several years ago, and one of my session participants created an image with Ron Burgundy in the background. And then the headline was, "Collaboration is key, learning new ideas with peers." So this routine is all about reflecting, summarizing, and distilling the biggest takeaway from the day or the class.
How fun. What another great share with a good digital component as well. That sounds really fun. Good share.
Well, thanks for allowing me to share your space today with that, because I am just as delighted and energized by these. All right, Laura, what else would you like to tell us before we wrap it up?
Okay, so I think I'm going to close it out in a meta way by using a thinking routine from the synthesizing and organizing ideas section. Also, this is how I tricked you, and I'm actually going to talk through another routine, but it's going to be a good way to wrap up. So this one is called Color Symbol Image, and it is designed to be a routine for, I love this description, distilling the essence of ideas non-verbally. And so this routine invites you to choose a color, symbol, or image to best represent or capture the essence of a key idea. So to wrap up, I want to distill the essence of the idea of thinking routines by choosing a representative symbol. So I'm going to go for symbol. Okay. And when I think about symbols, I really think about emojis. So my symbol is going to be that strong arm emoji. Here's why. I've got two reasons. Number one, routines take practice, but soon they become ingrained in the way that we do things. And I think this is true of processing, learning, and thinking using these routines. And I'm thinking that the strong arm emoji is like building up muscle, just like building good habits of deeper thinking muscles, if you will. Secondly, I also think this emoji depicts flexing, being strong. And I think educators who regularly use these routines are essentially flexing by asking those good questions, providing students with choice, and ultimately eliciting that good thinking from their students. So there you go. There's my symbol and final thought from color, symbol, image, thinking routine.
Well, that was a very sneaky trick of getting in your extra routine, but I love hearing about your strong arm emoji and why you chose that. And that is a perfect way to wrap up this episode. I also just have to comment once more, because you said that the routines become ingrained in the way we do things. I just made that connection. When I say see, think, wonder, what I have not even connected that to a thinking routine. It has just been ingrained. Like, this is a way to start conversations or take in some information and observe. So I hope some of these will become re-ingrained in the way we do things. So love
Absolutely. Way to truly make it routine.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on to launch some further thinking and next steps for applying what we share and consider now what. So, Laura, now what? What's next for you and thinking routines?
Well, prepping for this episode, I discovered a few routines that I'd never seen or hadn't used before, and that inspired me to bookmark a few and look for opportunities to use them in upcoming sessions and meetings that I'm designing. I have the tendency to use truly the same like two or three go-to thinking routines, but this really reminded me that there are so many in that toolbox, so I am challenging myself to add to my rotation of routines.
Nice.
And side note, Catherine, there's one that I'd never noticed before. I don't know if you have seen it. It's called Digital Habits Checkup. check, choose, challenge, boost, and track.
Ooh.
And it caught my eye because it was new to me. And I also think it fits really nicely with a lot of the conversations we've had over the past few weeks on the podcast about transformative technology and differentiating with tech. Mm-hmm. So check that one out if you haven't already seen it.
Okay, excellent.
And then additionally, I do want to continue utilizing thinking routines within the sessions and meetings that I design, but with that small added component of having a shout out to the resource, kind of like some of my takeaways from a few weeks ago about having that behind the scenes moment to mm-hmm. name the tool I'm using and model that thinking of why I've chosen it. I really want to implement a similar and really just more consistent practice of doing this to name the thinking behind the thinking routine mm-hmm. that I use. Getting extra meta, but really having that opportunity to draw attention to the resource I'm using and why I'm using it.
Ooh, excellent practice, excellent ideas. I really want to admire and acquire that as well. We'd also like to extend the invitation to you, dear listener, to share your ongoing story of learning as well. Take a moment to pause and think wherever you're listening from and consider, what have you heard today to spark your interest or inspire further thinking about thinking routines?
You may also find us online at Dig Learn Radio to continue the conversation and share what's been inspiring you this week. Additionally, we've got an update to share. We mentioned on a previous episode that Catherine and I have recently moved teams within our organization and actually work on the same team these days. But due to some shifts in our programs and schedules, we are going to take a small hiatus from the podcast for now. We want to be sure that our episodes align to our authentic voices and original design, so we're going to take a pause and regroup. But stay tuned, we will be back with another episode next month. So until then,
we're dedicated to sharing our learning and the things that are inspiring us. We hope that when we share, the conversation and ideas will cultivate curiosity and inspire you to explore one of the resources, reflect on a question we've asked, or continue your own learning journey.
We are, as ever, inspired to learn from Gail Allen in her work in The New Pillars of Modern Teaching. She reminds us that when we share, we add a sentence to the story we communicate about ourselves to the world. Let's continue learning, sharing, and transforming. Let's get inspired.